Hello and welcome back to the Adamsons Versus. I hope you're all well and enjoyed our last episode where we took on the dodgy vets. Welcome to my co-host, also called James Adamson.
Hello everyone.
This episode, we are taking on some conspiracy theories. We're putting on the tinfoil hats and heading to our underground bunkers and seeing what the nutjobs in the world, like Alex Jones, think is really going on with the world. So, firstly, how are you?
I'm very good. I'm refreshed and ready to go looking into this. Just a little bit of admin. This, while all of our episodes stand alone, this has a little tie into our other podcast, Double Reel, which is a film podcast. And our last episode focused mainly on conspiracy films. And we thought it'd be quite fun for our partner podcast to do conspiracy theories in general. So if you if your interest was piqued by this and you haven't listened to our other episode, please have a dig into that one as well. I think there's some fun stuff for you there on that one as well.
Great. So, the conspiracy theory, is there like a definition for it? Does it all kind of fall under the same kind of umbrella of it's a bit far-fetched, but what if? Or does it have its own sort of like place in the world?
I think at its most basic, I mean, the conspiracy theory, if you're just going to be completely kind of like even-handed about it, you're going to say a conspiracy theory is any theory in which the sort of accepted version of the facts, or that the version of the facts that went out at a given time wasn't correct, and there was actually secretly some sort of plot, by people who to varying degrees of secrecy were up to something bad, did something bad, and tried to get away with it. In modern days, those conspiracy theories can range from the government did something and it's been trying to cover up. I mean, any government cover-up which is later revealed is basically a conspiracy, so some of them are quite grounded in reality, and some of them are like sound like something out of a science fiction movie and are really far-fetched. And I guess the conspiracy theory that we're talking about here, if we're talking about tinfoil hats and bunkers and Alex Jones, we're talking about wild conspiracy theories that kind of people say, look, you can't trust anything. The whole reality, there's this secret behind it. You shouldn't listen to any of it. And there's actually this whole secret thing going on. Do you know what I mean? And it starts to build up that it's not just one conspiracy theory, it's many. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah. So I actually think with what you've said there, I think that the conspiracy theory is actually can be several different things. So when I think of conspiracy theories, I don't think of, 5G and all this stuff and all the kind of, the jet streams that are there to, control all of our minds. I don't believe in any of that kind of nonsense, but I also think that there can be conspiracy theories about, what if the government did this, or what if this is what we saw on the news, but there was actually some ulterior motives or some, undertones to it. So actually, I think what you've said there has kind of made me think, actually, it's not just, the nut job stuff that Alex Jones comes out with and says that they're faking school shootings to try and take our guns away.
Yeah.
Because that stuff's obviously fucking bollocks. But there are a few conspiracy theories that I can kind of get on board with. I look at them and I go, you know what, that's not... I believe that more than what the way the news presented it at the time.
Well, let's... I mean, there's a few actual conspiracies that we know are real, and the existence of those are probably why... I mean, there's a few... I mean, I think I'm in a similar position to you, as I don't believe all the crazy mad ones, but there are a couple of things where I go, then there's something behind that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For example, there are people suggesting that the Chancellor of the Exchequer met with hedge fund managers, one of whom he used to work for, 3 days before his recent mini-budget, and then they all made out short-selling the pound after he made... decisions on the economy that had an outcome that any hedge fund manager with advanced information would be able to work out for themselves. It's a very small and focused conspiracy is maybe a big word for it, but if you believe that something dodgy is going on in the background that people wouldn't admit to and you would need to go and dig in and find out the answer to, yeah, sure. I think there's loads going on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, if it's anything that's any conspiracy theory that's about the Tory government is probably true. Like, I think we're used to it by now that anything the Tory government says is utter shite, and if anyone presents a conspiracy theory about it, then that is the truth.
Yeah, I mean, some of it is like, I mean, we'll get, if you don't mind, we can do a couple of like big actual conspiracies.
Yeah, let's get a conspiracy theory for reference, because I feel like we're doing a lot of like philosophizing. Is that
Yeah, I mean, let's start. I mean, there's a couple of actual conspiracies that we know of, right? Which are the reason, which are the reason I think that people are now willing to believe, actually don't trust the government. Do you know what I mean? I mean, very, very early, you know, the conspiracy theories have been going on forever, but if we take sort of relatively recent history, Watergate was a conspiracy, and it's been proven that there was a break-in to the headquarters of the Democratic Party by people on the payroll of the Republican Party, who were the government at the time, to try and spy on and undermine their political opponents and improperly influence the outcome of what's meant to be free election. They then conspired to cover it up, blocked, you know, rightful inquiries into it, and it took years, and they were eventually found out, and the president had to quit. Now, we know that's a conspiracy because they got found out. There are other conspiracies which people believe to greater or lesser extent. MK Ultra, where the CIA were attempting mind control experiments to, you know, either, you know, control their own side to make them do whatever they wanted, or, you know, control the minds of their enemies. Air America, where the CIA is accused of transporting drugs around the world, you know, as a part of the illicit drug trade to finance their own operations in places like Cuba. There's all the things the FBI used to get up to, like huge counterintelligence operations to kind of attack and undermine any political group that they found that they didn't like, which went up to and including murdering members of the Black Panther Party. There's the Gulf of Tonkin incident, in which information was faked about a naval battle off the coast of Vietnam, in which the North Vietnamese were accused of something that they essentially didn't do, which was used to justify increased American government involvement in the Vietnam War. And this isn't tinfoil hat stuff. It's got its own Wikipedia page. And it's not a case of this is a conspiracy theory by nutters. This shit happened. All of these things are, to one extent or another, have some sort of basis in fact. And there's one I want to talk about later, which is the Climategate scandal. But as you can see, there are things that people got up to in the past which have made people go, you know, and at the time, there will have been, you know, news reports telling the version of the truth that the government wanted people to hear. So now, if someone says, don't believe the mainstream media, they call it, there are things you go, well, you know, maybe one or two of these have some truth in them. I always like to give a little posset history of things. So why don't we switch from that, mate, to you going, because we live in a world where everyone believes in one conspiracy or another to some extent, what are some ones you would put out there as possible real ones?
Well, that was a very sensible and measured definition and explanation and examples of the conspiracy theory. And to continue on from that, I want to talk about how Stevie Wonder isn't fucking blind.
God,
fucking blind, right? He's not. You could type in Stevie Wonder's not blind into fucking YouTube, into Google, right? There's several examples. So there's examples of Lionel Richie saying that he was at Stevie Wonder's house and he offered to drive him in his car and he flies planes and all that banana shit, which almost exclusively require you to have a fucking set of working eyes. And Shaq says that they were living in the same building, and he gets in the lift and Stevie Wonder's there, and Stevie Wonder looks to his left and goes, "What's up, Big Diesel?" And he goes, "How the fuck did he know it was me?" Like, I know Shaq's probably got some very looming presence. I imagine Shaq's got a very musky smell, but you have to have a set of eyes to know, like, the exact person that's in the lift or all that stuff. But the one that really takes the fucking biscuit is that he's on stage and someone's won an award, or they're doing some shitty concert for kids with ingrown toenails, and Paul McCartney knocks over a microphone stand. It's a way to fall over, and Stevie Wonder fucking catches it.
I've seen that video.
He fucking catches it. Not like he was moving his arms and he catches it on reaction. He moves his hands to fucking catch the thing. He's not fucking blind in his entire career of that kind of whole, Stevie Wonder's blind, but look how good he is at music. He was the original X Factor candidate. It was like, Amy Grant's got fucking AIDS, feel bad for me. He was the original version of that back in the 60s, because everyone was like, oh, this guy's blind, we're going to listen to his music, which is also very good, but I feel like he could have made that good music without being fucking blind.
Stevie Wonder. So I have seen the video of him catching the microphone stand, and what we don't have is any, like, it could have been that the the microphone made like a squeaking noise that he recognized as the microphone being about to fall.
But he's on a loud stage with loud something. Nope.
So that one I get. Two pieces of evidence to the contrary that I would like to put into the into the discussion to kind of suggest that maybe it's, while there are some curious things that Stevie Wonder's done. The first one is, if you look at the footage of him performing at the Black Woodstock show that they did the documentary about last year in 1969, he's appearing on stage, and every time the microphone kind of wiggles, someone is running onto the stage and moving the microphone for him, which they wouldn't have to do if he could see the microphone himself. What one piece of evidence? Second piece of evidence about whether Stevie Wonder is blind is all of his hairstyles in the 1980s. Which, if he could have seen what he looked like, he wouldn't have had them. But that's quite a fun one. I mean, it's potentially sort of frivolous, and it's like, you know, whatever, man. It did remind me of a fun story where, again, since the era of QI, and for our non-British listeners, QI is a television program, used to be hosted by Stephen Fry, who you'll have seen in some films and stuff, and now it's hosted by someone else, where often stories that someone would tell you in the pub and you would go, oh, that's definitely true, you find out it isn't. It's like Snopes for TV. But now that these things can be debunked, I'm less sure of this story. But I did read this story once about a blind man who was able to briefly drive a car. And the reason he was able to drive a car is that he'd actually persuaded his guide dog to sit on his lap and sort of move his arms and legs, well, his paws, sorry, move the driver's arms or prod the driver's arms to tell him when it was time to stop or turn left or turn right. And for about 5 or 10 minutes, he got away with it. Unfortunately, he let his driver's side window down because it was a hot day. And when they'd stopped some traffic lights, the dog saw a cat walking down the pavement and jumped out and ran after the cat. And normally I think dogs are too dutiful to do that. But this one, I think, had the intelligence to know what they were doing, probably wasn't legit and felt he would get away with it. And then he, without the dog to guide him, he crashed into the next lamppost. But that's got nothing to do with Stevie Wonder. It was just a good story that it reminded me of.
That's not a conspiracy theory. The dog wasn't a dog, it was a cat.
Yes. But yeah, that's a curious one. I mean, what about sort of other, you know...
Do you mean like a genuine one, not like a wee jokey one? Do you mean like a genuine one that's like actually impactful or has like...
So we talked a little bit about 9/11 on the other pod that we did about this, which was like the intro for this. And one of the stories about 9/11 was, one of the conspiracy theories is that Bush needed some sort of a rallying point and deliberately suppressed the intelligence on the attack. So that the attack would go ahead and he would be able to use the outrage to drive forward his foreign policy agenda. A similar conspiracy theory was leveled at Roosevelt, where some people said that, oh, he deliberately, you know, didn't share intelligence about Pearl Harbor because, you know, that he wanted to be in the war and that attack enabled him to be in the war. And what he did was the fleet was at sea on the day of the attack, so the damage wasn't as bad as it could have been. But it got Congress behind going to war. So there was that level of conspiracy theory about 9/11, which I could entertain if there was more evidence. I'm still more inclined to believe that the American intelligence services just don't fucking talk to each other and probably fucking missed it is more likely. Do you know what I mean? Occam's razor, the principle that the most simple explanation is probably the right one, still applies there. But, you know, the conspiracy theories on 9/11 go further than that to say, you know, it was an inside job, as in, you know, there were people feeding Al-Qaeda terror groups to say, look, do this attack because this will, you know, and they thought they were, you know, doing it for the cause, and actually someone was inciting them to do it, like the Nazis with the Reichstag fire, right? That's a conspiracy theory. And then if you take that to its extreme, the biggest, you know, most extreme end of it is that actually the whole thing was faked and there were no planes. That was kind of a fake. That, you know, it was drones, that those people on the plane didn't die. Actually, there were charges all over the buildings, and that they were detonated to make it fall down. A plane's never taken down a building before. It can't possibly be right. And so therefore, 9/11, the whole thing was not only an inside job, but staged by the elites inside the US government. I mean, there's a with any of these things now, there's usually a range of theories around any big event. I mean, where are you on any of those to do with 9/11?
So the thing about 9/11 is that I've probably seen 1,000 different documentaries, post articles, whatever, about how it could be an inside job. And the thing, what I will say is that I can't find anything that suggests why someone would want to do that, because to me, I know that George Bush was a fucking imbecile, but to me, 2 and 2 don't quite make 4 with this. So what I will say is that it's very suspicious that 2 buildings that were hit by planes fall down like a controlled demolition. To me, that will always be suspicious. We've seen controlled demolitions go wrong and the building goes all over the gaff, and it would fucking, if it was a controlled demolition that had gone wrong, that would have probably destroyed all of Lower Manhattan. Secondly, Building 7, so I think the towers were 1 and 2, Building 7 had a lot of FBI documents in it, had a minor fire in it, and the fire brigade could have put out the fire and, you know, saved the building, but instead they let the building be destroyed. So that's the only 2 things about it that are very suspicious to me.
So let's take the second one on that. I don't necessarily disagree with you on that one, simply because if an attack took place on where the FBI had incredibly secret documents and there was shit going on like that, there would possibly have been time for the FBI to say, fuck, burn the building, don't let the fire brigade in, we can't have this, you know, so the attack is genuine, but the FBI
seized an opportunity
to burn down their building because it was either that or, you know, this building would fall over the place and you know, important files would be strewn across downtown New York, right? I could see that. And that's a reaction to a genuine event that's, it's localized, almost like a localized, call it a conspiracy, it's like a decision. The controlled demolition bit, the problem I have with that is that we don't have any really other reference points to say, find me a building that size and shape that was hit by an aeroplane that size and shape that fast, that was built the way it was built with the steel girders, whatever it is, and fell down a different way. Do you know what I mean? It's not like we can say, here's all the other examples of planes that were hit by buildings in comparable enough circumstances. Buildings that are hit by planes in comparable enough circumstances, right? Where the buildings fell down in a different way, so therefore there's something up. Do you know what I mean? I've never seen another building fall down in similar circumstances, so I've got nothing to compare it to. Do you know what I mean? This is not saying that theory is completely wrong. It's just saying, what have we got to compare it to suggest there's anything wrong with how the building fell down in reality?
No, I'm not saying that there was a controlled demolition. I'm just saying, till the end of time, till the day I die, I will find it suspicious that those buildings came down like that.
I mean, we, you know, the...
Personally, like, okay, so it might be possible that flying a plane into a building causes the top half of the building to fall into the rest of the building. But the fact that it falls so straight and so perfectly will always be suspicious to me. That's just my 2 pens on it. I'm not saying that the government did it themselves. To me, it will always just be suspicious.
So, I mean, I've seen, like, actual structural engineers say the reason that happened is that the building caught fire and it burned and the steel girders were designed to, you know, for other things, not that. It was such an exceptional event that in the end, the building collapsed in on itself the way that it did. I mean, the only way I could imagine it being a controlled demolition would be in a weird, weird event where there was some sort of contingency plan in downtown New York that said, look, the World Trade Center is such an exceptional building. You know, it's already been attacked once by terrorists in the 90s. They took a van load of explosives and tried to blow up the car park underneath it. Maybe someone said, could they ever try again? Let's hide, I don't know, explosive charges around the building so that if it does fall, it doesn't hit every other building. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I could see that. It's far-fetched to me because I'm just thinking, imagine the fucking number of meetings, like just anything, right? In your job, the number of meetings you have to make a decision on the smallest fucking thing. Imagine the number of meetings people would have had with all these different people to actually make that happen. Do you know what I mean? It's the bit that I can't get is that someone would go, oh yeah, I can do that. I can go in Tuesday and get that done. It's like, fucking hell, mate. To change the fucking window cleaning supplier for this building took fucking 6 months of tendering. Do you know what I mean? how could they make the decision to do that? Do you know what I mean? For essentially a privately owned building. So with me, 9/11, with all these conspiracy theories, I think there's always an element of never, ever, ever underestimate the power of the cock-up, where people just, you know, people attribute a hell of a lot of power and competence to the elites and the CIA, when we've also seen them be fucking useless any number of times. The other thing is, there's all these factors behind 9/11, right? The Al-Qaeda had support and arms around the world for a number of reasons, right? Firstly, the Saudis have been exporting their particular brand of extremism around the world for domestic reasons, right? They have a dissolute royal family who live like playboys, do whatever the fuck they want, while large sections of their population are living in poverty, or certainly not their kind of luxury. And they decided that the best way to keep their population under control was to have a version of Islam which is absolutely sort of rigid and extreme, and keeps people in a situation where they blindly go along with whatever goes on in the world, allowing them to carry on doing whatever the fuck they want in their palaces and around the world, right? That is a completely separate thing to anything that the elites are doing around the world. The Saudis have done that for their own reason, because they were set up as a country and wanted to maintain their own lifestyle. That had a knock-on effect where, if you look on a map where all the hotspots of terror are, there's a ripple effect where the people who believe in that Wahhabi version of Islam have spread it outward to Pakistan, across the Gulf and across the sea to those bits of North Africa like Somalia, where they've got extremism, out and around the world, you know, outward from there. And that is something which was then exacerbated by, in the 80s, it suited a piece of foreign policy for the Americans to give money to Islamic fundamentalists to fight the Soviets and to fight socialism around the world. And that was something that they were doing for one reason only, because the Cold War was the whole thing for them. And I just can't imagine that the Saudis are looking ahead to the 21st century when they set up that version of Islam, or that in the 1970s and 80s, the Americans are looking ahead at all to a world beyond the Soviets, when they are giving the money and support and resources to, you know, Islamic fundamentalists, which, you know, this, they got blowback from something to solve one problem. They created a new problem, and that shit happens all the time. And it's not deliberate. It's not part of a grand plan. If they had the ability to fucking do that, right, they would, you know, they wouldn't fuck up all the things that they fuck up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for all of those things to then congregate with a guy being supported in Afghanistan and hidden in Afghanistan with Saudi money, who then is able to organize a terror attack of that nature because of about 8 or 9 different, completely separate factors that just happened to arrive. It's like, this shit, you know, this shit doesn't happen. Do you know what I mean? No one plans this stuff, you know? It's like World War One led to a whole load of things between the wars, which led to Hitler, which led to World War Two, right? That for that all to have been a conspiracy, Kaiser fucking Wilhelm, who was a moron anyway, in 1907, right, has to be taking certain actions and making certain decisions, looking ahead to the 1940s to kind of, you know, create the world that the Nazis, you know, you know, there are conspiracies about, oh, the Nazis was done on purpose so that, you know, a new world order could come into place and that the UN could be created. Kaiser Wilhelm was supposed to be looking 40 years ahead to that and took a whole load of decisions and all these knock-on effects. If you look, the broader you look, the more you realise it can't possibly be that kind of conspiracy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I suppose what would make 9/11 conspiracy is that George Bush wanted it to happen so he had an excuse to invade the Middle East. So he didn't.
Yeah.
But what ended up happening is that they made up the excuse anyway that Iraq had WMDs and that they wanted to go into Afghanistan to find Osama bin Laden. But what did they have to gain from invading Afghanistan? I know Iraq's got a lot of oil and lots of rich resources, which would, I don't agree with the lie, obviously. Saying that Iraq has nuclear weapons to exploit them for oil is disgusting. But was that, what, why would you invade Afghanistan for those resources? For the same reasons, because I don't know Afghanistan has those sort of resources.
So there's two things here. What one thing gives me real pause, right, is there is a quote from George Bush where early, very, very early in his presidency, like he takes over, he wins the presidency in 2000, he becomes, you know, he takes over as president in January 2001. And very early on, he said something, and it could have been an offhand remark, saying what this country needs is a new Pearl Harbor, a rallying moment to get this country going again. And it's like, oh, that's a bit, with retrospect, that's a bit of a chilling remark. But what the reason that they would invade Afghanistan is that the right wing of the Republican Party that then believed in two things. One, regime change in foreign countries so that their influence would be, you know, in more in control of these countries. And two, they believed that they could get the American people on side with a series of wars that would rally everyone behind it. And there is some oil. There is some oil behind that. There's also the fact that these people owned companies like Halliburton, which would benefit from the rebuilding of any countries that they invented. There's a group called, a think tank called the Project for a New American Century, which were behind that. And there was a plan. Yeah, we should invade Iraq. We should invade Afghanistan. We should effect regime change. And some of it is political ideology. You know, we are the world's policemen. Do you know what I mean? And some of it was, and let's, you know, while we do that, let's benefit from it financially while we do it. Do you know what I mean? And it's never the whole, oh, this is all a secret plan by the Rothschild. Do you know what I mean? It's like people have ideological beliefs which will make them go and do fucking crazy shit, you know, as we've seen. The conspiracy, it's always, I think where modern conspiracy theories fall down is there's always this grand kind of thing behind it. You know, David Icke always comes in and says there's these fucking, you know, lizards.
It's usually the Jews with him, isn't it?
Oh, man, it's fucking... It's the Jews who are actually lizards who have a moon base on the dark side of the moon and are controlling everyone. It's like, mate, you dropped some acid and you watched They Live, right? And now you think the whole world is fucking under mind control by aliens. He's fucking out of his mind.
Yeah, he's a weird one. He was on a podcast that I watched, and the podcast had obviously told him to not mention any of the lizard shit, and you could tell he was just chomping at the bit to just talk about the lizard stuff. And the stuff that comes out of this cunt's brain is just absolutely fucking bananas. It's, you know, you can't believe this guy used to play in goal for Leicester. That's I'll say about
it. To be fair, he was...
You have to be a special kind of fruit loop.
He was briefly on Coventry City's books in the youth, and then he played for Hereford United. He never...
Was it not Leicester, was it Coventry?
No, yeah. Only Coventry's youth team, and then for the first team he played for Hereford United, who were not a particularly big team. But he just, you know, he just realised that he had a, you know, or realised... The whole kind of post-goalkeeping broadcasting career wasn't going that great, and he decided that he wanted to kind of be the new fucking messiah. And he makes a lot of money sort of grifting, you know, with, you know, he fills large rooms with people paying to listen to him speak his bullshit. But, I mean, he has latched onto this. Let's look at this. Some of the wilder conspiracy theories, right, that exist now. It started with JFK, and there's sort of... There's reasons for people to think there might be something up with JFK. Do you know what I mean? Not only were there several groups of people who would have liked to have seen him dead, from the mafia to the CIA to, you know, possibly Lyndon Johnson to whoever, the Cubans, because, you know, there were all sorts of assassination attempts on Fidel Castro. So, you know, something could have been up there.
Yeah.
But what really gets up, you know, people's, you know, it gets people's kind of conspiracy stuff going is, oh, they fake the moon landings. You know, crop circles in fields. That used to be a big thing. Crop circles mean that aliens have been landing here. It's like, yeah. And then you see a video of someone creating a crop circle with a fucking lawnmower and a piece of rope. Do you know what I mean? The one that that David Icke started off with is the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, which is why fucking Jews are at the center of so many conspiracy theories. It's like, fucking hell. It's like anything. It's like, oh, it's the Jews. It's like, fucking hell, you lay off the Jews for 5 fucking minutes. How is everything the Jews? Do you know what I mean? It's like that scene in Four Lions when it's like, my car's not working because the Jews make the spark plugs. It's like, it's that fucking mental that they will find. And the Protocols of the Elders of Zion were a really horrific, nasty piece of work where someone faked these documents basically saying that Jews are going to kind of steal and abuse children and drink their blood, and shows that they're behind, you know, everything. And then the Nazis jumped on that because A, they were anti-Semites, and B, they realized that conspiracy theories were a good way to rally kind of people behind them. And there was a lot of anti-Semitism built into that, which is why you will see a pattern We'll get to why people, you know, use conspiracy theories and why a former president of the US is now spouting conspiracy theories himself. There's a reason for it. Very right-wing, almost fascist regimes use conspiracy theories to their purpose. And the Elders of Zion shit is one of them. There's the lizard Illuminati that we talked about. David Icke believed that there's a alien-like lizard types disguising themselves as humans. And every single president of the United States and several British prime ministers have been these Illuminati. They're the lizard Illuminati. You know, and the moon and Saturn are holograms. It's like, fucking hell. Once they get going, you realise, Jesus Christ. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's like there was an episode of Big Bang where they actually used a telescope and a laser beam to like bounce something off the mirror that the astronauts left on the moon. You can physically prove the moon exists from your own living room. Do you know what I mean? Or at least from your back garden, you know? And these people believe that the moon's a fucking hologram. The Holocaust was faked. That's another one. So, and then lately you have stuff like Alex Jones with his like chemtrail stuff and COVID, and all of these conspiracies just seem to be like. Let me ask you that. Why do you think people believe in these things that are almost fucking impossible, you know, if not actually impossible to be true, and they believe that the whole thing is part of some grand design by some people who are controlling the world from their moon base? Why do you think there are people who believe in all that shit, and why when COVID came along? People would be so like under a certain amount of stress and in lockdown, they sort of got more people to their cause. What is it about that you think attracts people?
I think that, and I think we're all guilty of it now that social media is such a thing, but the news is fed to us on so many different levels now. For example, you know, when we hear about, you know, the murder of an innocent black man in America, it can't just be that it was the black guy had a gun on him, because now there's like video.
Mm-hmm.
Because, sorry, I'm not coming across really clearly. There's less likelihood that the official story that the black person had a gun on them can be true, because usually everyone's filming the fucking thing.
Yeah, and it turns out to be bullshit. And the truth is the police lied to us. And so, you find out 5 minutes later, don't they?
So you go on Twitter and you go, oh, you can type in the person that was shot's name, and then it turns out they were literally walking down the street, minding their own fucking business, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, when that thing happens, you lose all trust that you ever had in the institution that you're meant to trust. You're meant to trust the government. That's why, like, the Watergate scandals and the, I'm trying to think of a British scandal back, and the Profumo scandals, you know, these things that happened, they make you question everything that's ever been said to you by the government. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because you should always question what is being said to you. Don't believe it for the first instance, because that's how you get fucking brainwashed.
Mm-hmm.
However, with that, it means that the news and legitimate news sources have the most difficult job in convincing you that what is happening is actually happening.
Because the truth is messy, and there'll always be something that doesn't add up. Do you know what I mean? There'll always be something that somebody said and it turns out to be bollocks, because you know what? Somebody got the wrong end of the stick, passed it on to somebody, 3 news agencies reported it, and then 5 years later people are going, oh, do you remember when they said that and it was a lie? Conspiracy. It's like, fucking hell. Sometimes things just kind of tumble out, you know? It's not part of a plan.
Yeah, so carrying on from what we were saying, I think that with that, you now think that anything you get told is now a lie. So the BBC could say that it's 23 degrees outside today. Have a lovely day in the sunshine. They go, no, it's fucking snowing. You can't tell me what to think.
Yeah.
So with that, I feel like that now anything serious that happens will never be listened to. Now, it's better in some places, but in this country that we live in a country full of fucking Fruit Loops who were told that COVID-19 was a really deadly virus. And they said, oh yeah, it'll be all those fucking cellular network masks that were being installed.
Yeah.
They're trying to control our minds. Face masks don't do this. It can't be this, it can't be that. And now
Bill Gates is putting a microchip in the vaccine.
It's like, yeah, but so you're saying that Bill Gates wants to fucking track your every movement while you use your laptop or phone that's connected to the fucking internet, you fucking thick, fucking stupid cunt.
Mm.
Sorry, that really pisses me off. Where they go on about, oh, they're trying to track every movement, and it's like, you're literally tweeting that with an IP address, you fat, fucking, unemployed, benefit-scrounging asshole.
Go fuck yourself telling me that a vaccine's going to try and fucking control your mind. And then when there's a side effect from a vaccine, which is the same thing that vaccines have always fucking done. Oh no, this vaccine, they're trying to fucking alter your DNA. I went to get, as you know, I've got a bit of a fucking gammy back. And I went to a physio. And the physio said, it was a private appointment. And the physio, because this would never happen with the fucking NHS. The physio said, oh yeah, I don't believe in any of this COVID stuff. I won't be taking the vaccines. They're altering your fucking DNA. And I complained. I went, you can't be fucking, like, you can't be telling folk that. That, like, especially when you have, like,
a you've got a license to not just give people medical treatment, but medical advice.
Yeah, and when people listen to you because you're in that position, you cannot be giving out that of fucking information. Yeah, that was a very massive side note, but that's the type of environment we live in now, where people don't believe that vaccines work. And it started long before COVID with the whole fucking autism, vaccines give you autism kind of thing. Because if that's the case, the entire world would have autism.
Yeah.
Which, you know, well, not the entire world, but most of the world would have autism.
Basically, you've got what's known as the post hoc ergo propter hoc, fallacy.
Yeah, you just cast a spell there and now my fucking furniture's floating. What did you just say there?
It means after this, therefore, because of this.
Right.
That if something happens after something, yeah, that means the first thing caused the second thing. It's like, you know, Hitler studied art and became a Nazi, therefore studying art makes you a Nazi. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this fallacy, what happens is that people get this MMR vaccine at a certain age, and not long after that, if someone has autism, they start to display those signs of autism chronologically sometime after they will have had that major vaccine. And if someone were to ask the question, wow, autism is, you know, people are coming out as autistic after they've had this vaccine, that in itself is not evidence. You need to find a causal link. And causal links are, it's because of this that they have that. And you would need further evidence, such as since the MMR vaccine came in, we've seen a huge spike in autism that, you know, we can't attribute to anything else. Which, A, there hasn't, and B, there has been an increase in people that are diagnosed with autism for the very, very simple reason that people are now better at recognising it, and people have said we need to actually be on the lookout for signs of this so that we can identify early and help the people who have it. And someone has misused the fact that we are now... Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, it would be like saying we now detect DNA at crime scenes, whereas in the 60s and 70s we didn't, therefore DNA didn't exist before the, you know, in the 60s and 70s. No, it was always there. We're just better at detecting it. Do you know what I mean? And that's why these things are made up. The thing with the COVID is I find very interesting, because there's this thing that I want to, a phenomenon that I think we'll come back to, if you don't mind, is I think there's a lot of people who want these conspiracies to be true because it's more interesting than day-to-day life. Yeah. And that's why they go into these things, because the fact that it's a bit of a shambles and there's shit going on and someone is pulling something behind the scenes, but it's, you know, we actually got to the state we're in because of mostly a number of like fuck ups and bad decisions. And it's all a little bit workaday and mundane, really, when you think about it, compared to lizards are controlling us from the dark side of the moon. One of those is much more exciting than the other, and I think that's why people want to believe it. But with the COVID vaccine, I don't know how many people you know, but I mean, I know people and have met, you know, and have heard of people who were up to a certain point quite rational, and then with COVID, a combination of being locked down, the economic effects of being locked down, the economic effects of having to stay off work, maybe furlough wasn't working for them, living on their own is really hard for them, a number of things, personal and external circumstances, created a huge kind of pressure on people. And rather than just say, fuck this, I don't want to stay locked down in my room, I'd rather be allowed out, that sort of morphed into there's something wrong with wearing a mask and there's something wrong with being vaccinated, even though that's a contradictory situation. There were people who were saying, I don't want to be locked down anymore and I'm not going to be vaccinated. It's like, mate, get vaccinated, you won't be fucking locked down anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like something happened in the brains of these people where they're not by nature the sorts of people who are just, you know, who have gone down YouTube rabbit holes and now believe that everything is the grand plan of a shadowy elite that controls everything. But on COVID, they have started to believe the same sort of shit. And they believe in like conspiracy type stuff. almost because of the situation they found themselves in during COVID. Do you know what I mean? I mean, have you had any experience of people like that?
What do you mean? So just people who, being absolutely fucking bananas?
No, people who you thought were quite rational people, but on the subject of COVID, they went down a conspiracy rabbit hole. Do you know what I mean?
I'm trying to think of how to remove.
They're not crazy anymore. About like, everything, but they've got nutty about this. The celebrities have gone down the rabbit hole who were previously normal, but there's also people I've known who've gone, oh yeah, it's all a conspiracy. And I would not have thought they would go down that, because it's almost like COVID broke them. Too many lockdowns broke them, you know?
I've not met anyone like that, but I feel like it made a lot more people I know more kind of, they were more willing to speak their opinion, you know, rather than be more reserved. I didn't think anyone that I knew came out with things that I thought were absolutely preposterous. There was a lot of people that disagreed with the COVID restrictions more than anything. And to some extent, I agreed. And I kind of felt that towards the end, and it got, I don't know when we got rid of face masks, but it was quite late on, wasn't it?
It sort of gradually sort of fell away, didn't it?
Yeah, I think people actually, the people in power enjoyed imposing these new restrictions. They thought, we like telling people what to do. That's how I started to feel. And I felt like the severity of COVID measurably came down, and we saw that the less people were dying and going to hospital. Not to say that COVID isn't a deadly disease, but from the offset, my view on it is that we cannot live like this forever, and we are going to have to find a solution that doesn't impact everyone financially. Lo and behold, they didn't fucking do that, and now we've got a big smelly fucking recession on our hands. So I think I don't necessarily disagree with people having an issue with it, but I think there's with every conspiracy theory, there's always one end of the spectrum. There's always a spectrum, and you can be anywhere on that spectrum.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like autism, ironically enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to finish that point. So you can be at the very far end of it where you think that COVID is fucking being generated from 5G. It was made in a fucking lab. It doesn't exist. It's there to control our brains and brainwash everyone. You can be on the other side of that who completely disagrees with that and think COVID is a really deadly virus and can kill you unless you get these three vaccines and all that kind of stuff. And you can be on it. I feel like where people kind of fall now is that they don't really want to agree with either side of the conspiracy theory because it can be so extreme. So I'm kind of in the middle there where I don't think COVID was made up. I had COVID and it knocked me for fucking six. But by the end of it, I thought we have to just kind of fucking get on with our lives here. And I feel like a lot of people fall in that kind of bracket.
Yeah. I mean, conspiracy theory. So, I mean, I think COVID just sort of had a specific effect on people because people were put under a huge strain. And I can understand people going, this lockdown stuff is, you know, bollocks. You know, we should get out there. I can understand people having that view, right? Especially once we got the vaccine, especially it feels like the lockdown just continued because the government had no other fucking plans. I totally understand that. But the same people going, I don't agree with the vaccine, that, you know, the vaccine is made up, you know, the vaccine's just been kind of, you know, pulled together in 5 minutes, when it's like, no, the people have been working on this for years and years and years, and the bit that they needed in the last year was to devote time and funding to get the vaccine into shape for this particular brand of the novel virus. It's like, and then to say, oh, the lockdowns are actually a prelude to totalitarian government. It's like, it's some sort of switch got pulled on that. But back from that, I think, personally, this is my theory, and you can tell me whether you're going to. I think there are a lot of people who believe generally in conspiracy theories because they want to, and they might actually sort of be functioning human beings that, you know, they obviously have a stereotype of them as like idiots living in their mum's basement. I think they probably function as human beings normally on a number of levels, and that you've probably walked past them in a shop and not realised that they're there. But online, where you can kind of indulge all sorts of fantasies, basically, they've grown into this kind of person online who believes in all sorts of mad shit. And once you get a couple of drinks in them, they'll tell you they don't believe in this, they don't believe in that. Mm. And I think they are, especially now that the internet puts you in touch with like-minded people a lot more than ever, and with information that you know, a YouTube video, which if you actually looked into it, is fucking bollocks. It's like the same people go, oh, we don't believe in the mainstream media's kind of main version, but I'm not going to fact check any of this shit that I've just seen on YouTube, right? But they want to believe it. They want to believe that it's mad. They want to believe that the Americans are hiding aliens in Area 51, and they want to believe in all of this stuff.
Well, now hold on now.
It's just more exciting.
Now hold on now. You fucking are walking the tinfoil Alex Jones and me. They're fucking hiding aliens in there. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck if you're fucking Andrew Marr, if you are the fucking god of news. They're hiding fucking aliens in there.
Well, I'll tell you what. You convince me about that, about aliens, and I will convince you of a conspiracy that I believe is real after you've done, after you've had your go.
Why are we not allowed in? There you go. Convinced you.
What have they got to hide?
What have they got to hide?
The Americans hide all sorts of things.
They hide aliens.
the thing is, right, if there was genuine alien technology, right, that the Americans had access to, you know, how come they're so shit at making cars? How come they're so fucking lackluster in so many ways if they've got all kinds of excellent alien tech just hiding in a building somewhere that they could have access to?
What if Area 51 is a bunch of cunts from General Motors just fucking unpacking a Volkswagen?
I reckon there's all sorts of things that they have hidden away that they're keeping secret. I just don't believe it's aliens, because if aliens were... Because to believe that they've got alien stuff there, that means aliens would travel here. Why are aliens intelligent enough to travel here, but they always go to the back end of nowhere in America and they always get caught and don't leave any other evidence and get taken into Area 51? How come there's no one seen anything anywhere else in the world? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think... I don't think they've got aliens in there, but I think they're up to no fucking good in there. That's what I think they're doing. But as soon as you want to hide shit, they're up to no good. Like, we, in the UK, we keep our nuclear weapons in fucking plain sight. If they wanted to destroy half of Scotland, all they would have to do is drop a bomb in fucking Helensburgh, and that would be half of Scotland destroyed. So we keep them in plain sight. So whatever they've got hiding in there, whether it's weapons or these fancy things, they're hiding something in there. I think with those kind of conspiracy theories, like... people are just speculating because they can't see something. Yeah, the ones I enjoy are the ones like the whole Jeffrey Epstein not killing himself, because I'm sure we agree on that. He did not kill himself.
I find the official version of events quite convenient.
Have you seen the guy he shared a cell with?
Yeah, he's this massive, scary bloke. Yeah,
he's this guy who's a cop who killed four guys. Was sharing a cell with Jeffrey Epstein. He had so much dirt in that little black book of his to ruin probably all of the social elite in at least the Western world. So I think it's very convenient that guy killed himself.
Here's what I'm prepared to believe on that, is that someone paid that guy enough money for his, you know, and was able to kind of influence just enough people to say, yeah, he gets transferred into that cell and all of that stuff, so that he would kill Jeffrey Epstein, make it look like suicide, and stop him revealing something about the person who commissioned that. If I was going to pose a theory on it, I would say it's one name in his book, right?
What name?
I don't know. It could be anyone, right, of those people. But it's one person who... Jeffrey Epstein knew and could have compromised if he'd testified, if he'd shared information about people that he was trafficking women for and girls for. And that person could scrape together, I mean, how much is a convict in prison? You're going to have to pay him, what, 50 grand, 100 grand? Even if you have to pay him $1 million to keep his mouth shut, that's fucking chump change to a billionaire who stands to lose everything if Jeffrey Epstein reveals stuff about him. And that person has got enough sway, and a few other people have to kind of cooperate, and he's, you know, let it happen. And there's maybe a few people going, yeah, let's do that, let's keep it quiet. What I'm not prepared to believe, that there's a group of people who have meetings, yeah, behind closed doors, and they are, you know, that there was some kind of joint group decided to do it. I reckon it's one person in Epstein's little black book shut him up. And it's a conspiracy because it required the cooperation of, you know, at least half a dozen people, kind of, you know, someone to get him in the cell and all of that stuff.
I don't think it's one name, mate. I think it's a lot of people in that book. If you look at the names of the people in that book, all it takes is for him to say, look, I'll take a plea deal. half my sentence or whatever, and I'll tell you who was up to no good.
I completely agree. A lot of people would probably shitting themselves. The more people that are involved in something like that, the more likely it is that something gets out. If people are emailing each other or fucking texting each other or anything like that to fucking make it happen, I just think it's far more likely it was one person, one powerful rich person on Epstein's list. I think that's more likely.
Yeah. So that's one we definitely agree on. 100% the guy didn't kill himself because he could have daubed so many people into it.
Yeah, here's one I'd like to kind of do, and I'll preview one conspiracy. I'll sort of praise you one conspiracy with another to kind of, it's one that we can prove, which I think shows you how I think a conspiracy can like evolve, and it will, I think, help make the conspiracy theory I'm actually trying to put through persuasive. Have you heard of a guy called Daniel Morgan?
No.
Private investigator in the 1980s in South London. In 1987, he was killed with an axe, murdered with an axe in a car park outside a pub. He was about to reveal information about police corruption and links between the police and organised crime in South London, which was riddled with corruption and organised crime. Police, at best, covered up his murder. At worst, colluded in his murder, or one of them might have even actually been the one who killed him. Certainly the ones who said, got someone with an axe to go to that car park and kill him, maybe even tricked Daniel Morgan into being there at that time. His partner in the detective agency is implicated. Those police had links to the police that were in the pockets of the gangsters whose sons murdered Stephen Lawrence and helped screw over that investigation. They had links to the Murdoch press and the fake shake and the phone hacking scandal. And for years, they have kept... they have stopped the truth coming out about Daniel Morgan's murder to the point that now... So many people would be implicated in the cover-up, and partly incompetence, partly corruption in the police that was never really rooted out, that when Cressida de Dick was actively blocking that investigation so that people would just give up, it's not a big conspiracy by a single group of people going, we would keep this quiet, but that, you know, the police were covering their arse, and there were people in the Murdoch press who... some of them, not many of them, left working for the organisation now. They, you know, for years they were involved in kind of discrediting people, using their links with the police to kind of protect themselves, and in return would help keep, you know, people out of trouble for their part in Daniel Morgan's murder. Now, that's all provable. There's podcasts about it, there's books about it. They do that. And what I'm arguing for is that there's a kind of a disparate group of people who will all have different reasons for participating in something to differing extents at different times, but there's a conspiracy in that there was a cover-up of a murder to cover up police corruption and organised crime, giving money to police to kind of undermine the rule of law. The fact that exists is why I believe that... Have you heard of the Climategate scandal?
No.
2009, a bunch of emails are leaked which purported to show that the people who were studying climate change and arguing that it was man-made and that we needed to do something about carbon emissions and about human activity to change the way in which we use energy, build things, you know, use fossil fuels and everything else, were exaggerating and even lying about the extent of climate change to prove their point, and even kind of, you know, because of their links to governments that wanted to be more kind of tax and controlling and as opposed to good old-fashioned free trade where, you know, the market will find a solution if there's even a problem, right? That it was a huge scandal at the time. People still refer to it. Oh, yeah, do you remember those emails? Do you remember when they fucking made up how fucking serious climate change is? It's not as bad as everyone's saying. It's not as linked to human activities as everyone's saying. It still gets used now. It was used extensively to discredit people. It has been proven that they were hacked. Their emails didn't just leak. They were hacked by someone who was, you know, using force and serious resources to get into their email system. And that they... What they did was they cherry-picked a few emails between people who said, oh, mainly what they were saying was all the climate skeptics are assholes, do you know what I mean? And we need to get the message across that the climate change is real. And they very, very carefully edited messages and made it look like they'd exaggerated their findings. Dig into it, they did not exaggerate their findings. Everything they did is fully peer-reviewed, and every claim that they made not only was correct and properly provided, a lot of it's already come true about the state of things with climate change and carbon and how hard it is to kind of deal with carbon emissions now, the state of the sea levels and air quality and all those things, proven fucking true. But the stink of that fucking lie still hangs about there. My conspiracy theory is this, is that there were people who had a lot of money vested in keeping fossil fuels going, and probably a separate group. I don't think they're all part of a meeting who all agreed to take part in the same conspiracy, but there are people over in you know, competing parts of the world like Russia, who are more than, you know, A, like fossil fuels and are more than happy to see our, you know, normal polite society get fucking undermined, who would be happy to take part in hacking and misinformation. And there are oil companies who we know, because I know for a fact that, for example, BP, they cooperate with environmental consultancies and environmental campaigns and say how they're trying to do this, that and the other to be more solar and green and friendly. They also spend a lot of money on groups in America denying climate change. There were fossil fuels companies and right-wing American politicians, right-wing British politicians, including people like Jacob Rees-Mogg. People like him. I don't know if he's involved. Some of those people are taking money from Russia. Some of those people are taking money, I won't say Russian oligarchs. Some of these people are taking money from oil companies. They all had an interest in, I don't think they had a meeting and said, let's do this, but somebody hacked those emails and a whole lot of people jumped on the bandwagon to try and destroy the claim of climate change because they were going to make money out of carrying on using fossil fuels. And I think the Russians stirred the pot because they're always stirring the pot trying to undermine things over here. Not to mention they want to carry on selling oil and gas to people. So I believe there are a number of people behind that leak of emails. And that includes people who are currently sitting in this government. That includes people who are currently editing media and newspapers in this country. And all sorts of climate deniers, and I believe it. There was some Russian hacking that went into it as well. And that is my conspiracy theory that I 100% believe is true.
Okay.
I don't believe there were any like lizards from outer space, but I think people will gang up in quite a messy way. I think the way it probably worked was that someone did the hacking and other people said, you know, let's use that information in a certain way. And other people just jumped on the bandwagon once the information was out there. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes people's interests coincide and it's harder to prove a conspiracy if they all just fucking join in. Do you know what I mean? Like a playground fight, you know? It's not like the whole thing was orchestrated from like a shadowy room. But I believe there was a conspiracy to get that information out in a falsified way to damage the efforts to combat climate change.
I can believe it. If it's anyone in a current seat of power in this country, I can fully believe it. Like I said, they are so evil. They are so bad at what they do and just want to only make themselves profit of any situation and only benefit themselves. That I fully believe what you've just said is true.
I can't prove it. I mean, I can prove some of those things. It's been proven that the information was faked, and that they were hacked, and that the people who reported on it, it's a huge coincidence. People like the Saudis and other people with a huge vested interest in continuing to sell fossil fuels around the world, the ones who jumped the most on these fake stories that climate change research was being exaggerated. But I can't prove that someone did it on purpose, do you know what I mean, that as part of a plan. But I fully believe that that's what happened. Mm. And I think there's a big difference between believing something like that and believing that the moon's a hologram. Do you know what I mean? I don't think you need to have a tinfoil hat on to believe some of that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Because I personally fucking hate some of the shit that people come out with. Because I think, leave aside the political side of it for a second, but a lot of these people who are constantly on about conspiracy theories, you know, it's like, oh, it's the Rothschilds, it's Zionists trying to control the world, and it's like, it's all very well you wanting to entertain yourselves with your crazy fucking theories, but when you are complicit in spreading misinformation about the COVID vaccine and making it harder for people to fucking avoid catching a disease, right? Because people go, oh, well, if I don't have the vaccine, it's my choice. I'm not making things worse for anyone else. But yes, you fucking are. If you undermine confidence in vaccines, the vaccine is less effective for the people who've taken it. Do you know what I mean? The vaccines need to be taken by everybody to actually eradicate the disease and stop the disease mutating and being spread around. That's why you're fucking endangering lives, you fucking assholes, you know? And when they say, always fucking turn it into like, you know, something to do with the fucking Jews and anti-Semitism, and the way they generally kind of undermine It's like you can't have a fucking intelligent conversation anymore because someone is always saying there's a conspiracy behind it. You just think, fucking hell, we need to deal with climate change. We can't fucking lose time explaining to cunts why it's not all a fucking plan by the lizards on the dark side of the moon. Do you know what I mean? And that's why it bothers me. And yet, there are conspiracies I do believe in because I think they're kind of normal. You know, do I believe that people will do bad things and try and cover it up? Yes. Do I believe that there are people who've got the money and resources to pull something like that off? Yes, up to a point. I don't believe that there's this giant, you know, conspiracy of like six people, you know, living in the pyramids. But I do believe that people will conspire to do things at various times. Because I think that's just realistic.
So do you believe then that the royal family organised the death of Princess Diana?
No. And I'll tell you why. Princess Diana's driver and security was organised by Mohammed Al-Fayed. Now, number one, he hated the royal family. He had nothing to do with the royal family. Number two, he's a fucking moron.
Okay.
And it's like, the only reason she's doing that is that Princess Diana has chosen to go out with Dodi Fayed. So unless someone has super cleverly tricked Princess Diana into saying Dodi Fayed should be your boyfriend, and that was Prince Philip's plan all along, I don't see how they've organised her death. Do you know what I mean? Because, and I don't think the royal family organised all the paparazzi to be so fascinated by Princess Diana that they would, want to follow her. She was going out with a bloke whose dad was a cunt. Her security was incompetent, and her driver was drunk. That's my take on it.
Fair enough. I've never fully believed in it either.
Just what did they have to gain from it? You know, she already was out of the royal family. She'd already given them a couple of sons who everyone quite likes. People didn't like Prince Charles very much. Still kind of don't, but I think dutifully go, look, he's the king now. I believe in a monarchy. Let's go along with it. Let's see how it goes. It didn't change anything. Nothing that's happening now with the royal family would have been in the least bothered by Princess Diana plodding on and being photogenic and being, oh, look, isn't Princess Diana lovely? I like her much better than Prince Charles. I just don't see why anyone would bother.
I mean, I think some people have speculated that the embarrassment that she'd caused them would have been furthered because she was marrying a Muslim man. That's what they believe. They believe that she was marrying a Muslim man, and therefore that was just the final, you know, bit of embarrassment that the royal family couldn't take. But the royal family had never been, you know, shy of, you know, embarrassment. I mean, look at the Queen paying 12 million to bail out a paedophile son.
Yeah, I mean, if the royal family responded to embarrassment with lethal force, Prince Andrew would not have lived to see the 21st century.
Exactly. The royal family don't give a shit about that type of thing. I mean, the royal family, the Queen had two cousins who were written off as dead because they were disabled and seen as an embarrassment to the...
Yeah, no, they were hidden away somewhere. See, I believe that.
One of them died in 1986 and one of them died in 2014. And they were back in the day, they were made to believe that they passed away. Yeah, the royal family are up to no good, but the death of Princess Diana, I don't think, is one of them.
The more complex the conspiracy is and the more far-reaching the conspiracy is, the more you've got to ask the question, could they pull that off and why would they bother? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's a modern phenomenon that kind of I find really interesting, and maybe this can be our kind of little climax to the discussion, mate. Is that conspiracies have taken a real political turn with Alex Jones and QAnon and Donald Trump, and that's new because once upon a time a lot of these conspiracy people were like, yeah, whatever, it's some freak who believes that the moon landings were faked, but now a lot of those people, it's become this self-perpetuating thing. And QAnon conspiracies have almost been used with varying degrees of, you know, implicit and explicit support by Donald Trump to mobilize a sort of a radical branch of his supporters. What do you think about the way conspiracy theories are kind of being spread on things like InfoWars and Breitbart, and the way, you know, conspiracy and news have kind of merged on the far right?
I don't know. I feel like they're being presented as I would expect them to be presented in the 21st century, if that makes sense. So, you know, we have new ways of you know, communicating our news and just communicating anything we have like different ways of communicating anything, really. So I know they present it now as if there's some sort of reason for everything happening, and there's always up to that, someone's always up to no fucking good. But the way they do it is, you know, it's if you weren't, you know, at least a little bit educated, you would believe what these folks say, like Breitbart and InfoWars, because they try and make it come across as, you know, as convincing as they possibly can, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you've read a book and you've got a bit of intelligence, you can read through the fucking shit that falls out their wobbly mouths any day. But, you know, like I'm not saying that Jordan Peterson and these types come up with their own conspiracy theories, like your Andrew Tates. They seem to discuss other topics, but they're fucking idiots. They are fucking imbeciles, but they come across intelligently, and I feel like that's what Breitbart and InfoWars do. They're fucking idiots spouting shite, but it comes across intelligently, if that makes sense. Like, do you know what they're like? Yeah. They're like that cunt from Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. What's his name? The one who's a massive fraud.
Oh, Gilderoy Lockhart.
That's exactly who Breitbart, InfoWars, QAnon, all these cunts are. They're Gilderoy Lockhart, and they're very convincing and believable, but when you actually go a little bit underneath the surface, they're fucking morons.
But that's the interesting thing. I agree with all of that. I think you have got a large proportion, and I don't... Look, it's not everyone, because just to give you the numbers, only 29% of people who registered to vote voted for Donald Trump in 2020, okay? So it's not all Americans, it's not even a majority. It is a minority of people who believe this, but it's a big enough minority to actually be mobilized. And the way the American electoral system it works, that was enough for there to be, I don't know, what was that, 45% of the vote, and Biden gets 55%. It's a decent win for Biden, but it wasn't a landslide. So enough people can be persuaded to vote for Donald Trump. And the reason for that is they don't have... Critical thinking is not taught. A very good sort of friend of mine called Graham, who died recently, lived in America for a long time, and he said they don't teach critical thinking in schools. You don't see critical thinking at work among people there. They are brought up to not question things. And what's happened over recent years is that people have weaponized, you know, difference of opinion, and they've weaponized opinion over fact, to the point that people choose to believe one side of the story or another. And while it's all bollocks, those people aren't looking under the surface at Breitbart and Alex Jones and all those things. Those people are choosing to believe one level or other. Not all of them are all down in the QAnon fucking gutter. Not all of them are down in the Alex Jones chemtrail shit. But they're believing the shit that they're hearing on Fox News. They're believing Tucker Carlson saying that it's all part of the Democrats trying to replace white people with foreigners. Do you know what I mean? And I think these conspiracy theories that... Donald Trump is, it's very easy to refer to Donald Trump as a moron. In a number of ways he is, but there's a couple of things he's very smart at is using these conspiracy theories to mobilize enough people. And the other thing is that Donald Trump didn't just land on a functioning, effective American political system with a right wing that was kind of like, I don't know, the Tories, you know, your normal kind of average Tory vote who doesn't believe in fucking tax and spend and believes that, you know, if you promote business and let him carry on making his money, the world will get better, right? You're talking about a political system that's been fucked for years, right? And a Republican Party that's been lurching to the right for 40 years. And Donald Trump just took that and went, oh, I can do something with this. And he took a situation which was very vulnerable, and he's turned it into a party that's more about him than it is about being a Republican. And he is actively supporting wild conspiracy theories because he knows that those people, if he can break their chains to reality, right, he can spread whatever stories he wants, and they'll believe them just because he said them, or just because people like QAnon. And my conspiracy underlying that is that QAnon started up, and that all of these conspiracy theories, that whole thing started up to support Trump. And, you know, Trump might not have been so shadowy as to kind of set the whole thing up himself, but someone decided to start pushing conspiracy theories in that direction. And someone like Alex Jones just makes money, so he goes where the money is. That whole situation has been nudged in that direction so that it suits Donald Trump's political purposes. So my theory is that the existence of conspiracy theories are themselves a conspiracy.
The fuck? You've just conspiracy-ceptioned us there.
That's right. We've come full circle. Look, conspiracy theories have always been there. All I'm saying is that those people who believe in conspiracy theories, they can now go on YouTube and make money. Alex Jones makes money selling fucking supplements to people who, you know, who he's convinced not to believe in real medicine, right? And, you know, I don't think Jordan Peterson is a conspiracy theorist, but he targets the things he says and the interviews he gives and the stuff that he does because he knows he gets some huge hits on YouTube from people who agree with him and from people who think he's a cunt. It's this massive right-wing grift. The guy who, I think his name's Andrew Wakefield, the guy who made, basically fucked up when he said that the MMR vaccine causes autism. But he refused to back down. He doubled down on it. He got struck off as a doctor. So he had to go and do something else. And he is now spreading vaccine conspiracy theories. This guy who was a medical professional is now spreading theories against all vaccines because there's money in it. And Donald Trump knows how a fucking a con trick and a grift works. And he said, oh, I can use that. I can use all of that for my purposes. So again, I don't believe in conspiracies that are all like one giant, huge, clever, sophisticated plan, but I do believe in people exploiting the situation for their own purposes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's interesting what money makes people do, that they will sacrifice all moral fiber just because they can. I watched a very interesting video recently of this guy who doesn't even speak to his mum anymore because she's now become like this kind of figurehead for, you know, anti-vaccine, anti-COVID stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically disowned his mum, or he was getting interviewed, and I think it might have been on live TV, and he just said, yeah, my mum's chatting absolute shit. She disowned him and all that kind of stuff because he said that she was just using it as an opportunity, as a platform, because it brings in, you know, views, it gets ad sponsorships and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of money to be made, and you might not necessarily believe that thing. Like, Donald Trump's an interesting example. Back in the day, he said, if I was to run, I'm a Democrat, but if I was to run as president, I'd run as a Republican because those people are idiots and they'll believe anything you tell them. And that's literally what he went and did. So,
yeah, I mean,
your moral fiber might be that you vote for the Green Party, but you know that the best chance that you're going to get power is to run as a conservative, then you'll run as a conservative. And
the interesting thing about that quote, right, is that while I 100% believe that that's what Donald Trump thinks, I think the quote that they're using was kind of slightly exaggerated or doctored. He didn't quite say everything that quote says he said. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
But it's true. That's exactly what Donald Trump's decided to do. I think what happens is that some people head down that route because they've been so disgraced that they no longer have a respectable reputation to do anything else. You've also got like shock jocks, you've got radio DJs on TalkSport and their American equivalents, and kind of people like fucking Richard Littlejohn and people like that, and Piers Morgan, who were already that kind of person anyway. And now that it's kind of headed into this new world, they just jump on that bandwagon because it's the natural conclusion to where they already were, right? And there are other people, like there are people on GB News, and there are people who get onto like some of these news platforms. There's the One America Network and stuff like that. That guy, what's his name? I think his online name is Sargon of Akkad and stuff like that. Some people just head in that direction because they go, you know what? This is a shortcut to money. This is a shortcut to clicks and likes that I can monetize, and I don't care. Some of them actually believe it. Some of them don't fucking care.
Yeah, it's interesting, like the integrity that people have. Like, there's a discussion I was having with my missus, and I said, for £1 billion. Would you spend a night with Donald Trump? And she went, absolutely not. You know, you got to have a bit more kind of, you know, moral fibre, you know, a bit more self-respect. And then her pals were around. Her pal and his partner, they were around. And I went, mate, would you spend the night with Donald Trump for £1 billion? He went, yes. So it's just, it's one of those things, isn't it? Like, some people just don't have the moral integrity to not spout dangerous lies, and some people do.
Yeah. Was there anything else you wanted to cover in the world of conspiracy theories?
I think we've covered all the bits. I mean, there's so many that we can that we've not even tapped into, but they kind of just kind of tie into the same thing. We didn't talk about Bilderberg, which is basically that all the world leaders meet at this place called Bilderberg, and they basically plan out everything, which I don't even think is a conspiracy theory. I think that's 100% true. But with that, people think that they planned COVID and they planned all these different things. So, yeah, I think we've covered all the ones that we need to cover.
Any recent news stories or things that caught your eye that tickled you that you wanted to talk about? Videos that made you laugh that you want to draw our listeners' attention to or anything like that?
I did enjoy the funeral procession on the Royal Mile and this young guy from Edinburgh shouting, "Andrew, you're a sick old man." And that man has now been charged with breach of the peace or something like that. And he's probably going to get a fine or...
wasn't that the one where they said, people are going to kick his head in, which would have been a breach of the peace, so they're arresting him for inciting that breach of the peace?
I'm not sure, but what I find interesting is that he's been...
interpretation of the laws.
He's been arrested and charged, and we'll have a criminal record for that, while for calling a man a paedophile, as opposed to actually arresting and putting a paedophile in jail. That's probably the funniest thing that's happened in the past few weeks.
It's bitterly funny. Shall we do what we normally do and have a little look at what Florida Man's been doing since we last spoke to our audience?
Please.
There's a few fun ones I thought that you might like. Let's start with a sort of a light one. This is just like almost par for the course. Of course they do this. Florida men, three of them, arrested trying to steal traffic lights.
As you do.
This is sort of a reverse Florida man. A bulldog aboard an American flight on a plane wanders over and has diarrhea all over Florida man.
Oh, man.
I don't think we can blame...
on a flight?
Yeah.
What the fuck's happened? How did the... Ooh!
I think that it was just the flight that allowed people to take their dogs on board. You sometimes see
When did this become a thing?
You see it quite often in America. They'll let you take anything on a flight in America, so why not a dog? I think we can blame Florida Man for that. Florida Man didn't do anything other than just be unfortunate to sit in there. Here's a good one, which I just enjoyed. Naked Florida Man with machete accused of trying to steal another man's clothes.
Yes. Yes.
Florida airports have a problem. Too many of Florida Man's loaded guns in carry-on luggage. They have this habit of either taking their guns or leaving their guns in their bag that they're taking on the flight, and those guns happen to be loaded, and it's causing all sorts of delays because Florida Man doesn't think to fucking put his firearm away or put it in his... Even if... I don't think you should be allowed to take guns on a plane anyway. I think you can put them in a suitcase, and if they're unloaded, you can probably do that. But these guys are just carrying loaded guns around in their...
Oh, fantastic.
I have to say, if I had a loaded gun about my person and I was waiting in the queue while some cunt was standing in the aisle taking her jacket off and pissing about while we're trying to get in the seat, I'm not sure I'd be able to control myself.
Yeah, I'd be reaching into my backpack and fucking putting bullets back into my gun.
That's why I believe in gun control. Florida father and daughter arrested after family feud over takeaway Chinese food. This is beautiful. It starts out normal. They get a takeaway. What each dish is in the little plastic box wasn't written very clearly on the box. We've all seen that, right? Daughter takes out, opens the box, starts eating something, turns out to be her father's. But instead of just going, hang on, that's mine, it devolves into a massive fight where not only are they throwing the food at each other, they're punching each other. It got so bad that the police had to be called. This is all taking place inside their family home, so this became such a huge thing that the police had to be called. And now the ones that I wanted to build up to, and you'll like these. Florida man arrested for having sex with stuffed Olaf in department store.
What do you mean?
So the Olaf character.
Do you want to fuck a snowman?
Yeah, that's it.
Come on, let's go and play.
Yeah, I mean, the gifts you could do with that are just incredible. Florida man, I sent this link to you already, so you know about this one. Florida man who marooned himself on Lake Fountain says he took too much MDMA and wanted to be with the swans.
You know What? You can't charge that guy. You can't arrest that guy and charge that guy with whatever he could have been charged with because he just wanted to be with the swans.
It's such a beautiful sentiment. I want with the swans.
Oh, Florida man, you're so misunderstood.
See, that might be old, but it got reported on my my Florida man Reddit feed, so I'm sticking it in here.
Amazing.
This one, I just love this. Florida man dressed as Fred Flintstone pulled over by police in his footmobile.
Amazing.
That's just thank you for doing that. That just brightens our lives up. And to close, I have Florida man dressed only in boxer shorts and socks arrested after breaking into a pizza restaurant and making his way through the drive-through window.
Amazing.
It's beautiful. It's got everything. The fact that he's only dressed in boxer shorts and socks is the best part of it. That's what makes it Florida man.
I feel like Floridians are never fucking fully clothed.
It is a hot place.
It is hot, isn't it? What was I going to say? Sorry, before we go, I just wanted to talk about a tweet I saw, which is, I think we can all take a little bit of solace, because whoever's listening, if you ever feel like you're not good enough or you're not doing well enough, at least you're not as stupid as this fucking cunt that I'm going to talk about. So I quoted the tweet and I tweeted about it. The person that tweeted the tweet is called Lynn May, and she considers herself a traditional conservative woman with conservative values, and she tweeted saying, I'm seeing a lot of people on here saying that, you know, £100,000 is a lot of money, £100,000 a year salary is a lot of money, and, you know, it would be much easier to live on as opposed to, you know, the living wage and all that kind of stuff. That's the gist of it. That's not the exact wording. But she says that she's basically annoyed that people are considering £100,000 a year too much money and decides to break it down as, well, imagine you are a man on £100,000 a year and you have four children, your wife isn't working and you have a £2,000 a month mortgage. That doesn't leave you enough for anything. I'm sick of this, you know, this kind of thing. And I went, I'm sorry. Are you saying that only people with £100,000... have four children.
Imagine living on a quarter of that, dear.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, loads of the replies are like, you know, someone said, oh, well, no one's asking you to have a £2,000 a month mortgage. The wife can go back to work. Why are you having four fucking kids? And I'm not being funny. Like, I've looked at that, and basically, even after the mortgage, that person still makes more than what I make and what my partner makes, not combined, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm looking at that thinking, well, wow, it must be nice to have a £2,000 mortgage, because I bet your house is fucking incredible. I'd rather cry in a house that costs that much than... So yeah, that's interesting. That's where we are.
A particular kind of stupidity to kind of make that argument for them being the ones who get the lion's share of the benefit of recent government policy. Fucking idiots.
Oh, actually, no, interestingly... Before we go, this is a nice end. This is a nice end to the podcast. So, Mum was just asking before we came on the podcast how I was doing, blah, blah, blah. And obviously, I hadn't been feeling too well. So, I said, feeling a bit under weather. I think it's just because the temperature's got a bit colder. But she was asking if I was at work. And I said, no, I'm off work. And she said, what are you up to? And I just said, I'm just on the couch cuddling the wee man, meaning my dog. And she went, eh? That's too much information. And she went... She went, oh, you mean the dog? So I replied, so I replied, what the fuck did you think I meant?
No, as
if I'm going to like, yeah, Mum, I'm all right, I'm having a wank.
Far that in the conversations no one ever wants to have with
you. You know what I mean? I was like, what are you talking about? My mum's of that generation where she just doesn't know how to use a phone. Or understand the conversation through the phone. Have I ever told you the time that I was going for a hike? I think I was going up a wee hill somewhere. She just messaged me saying, I hope you enjoyed your hole. Because she actually hiked a hole. Oh.
You get links to that, don't you? Like lists of like texts from mothers and parents generally that are embarrassing because your parent doesn't know how to use a phone properly. It's a lot funnier when it happens to someone else.
Oh, honestly. Do you have that thing on your phone and it just hides the notification on your lock screen and you have to open up your phone to see the full notification? Yeah. Whenever I see a text from my mum, it's a fucking lottery as to what's going to be inside.
What am I going to see? It's funny when your life is a meme. Very good. That's a nice upbeat note to finish on. Well, so, I mean, in short, we hope we've given you a nice little whistle-stop tour of conspiracy theories. It does link back to our other podcast, Double Reel, which had a conspiracy movie-themed episode just come out. So please listen to them both. Please give us, you know, a good review wherever you get your podcast. That does help us. But other than that, thank you very much, and we will speak to you next time. This was The Adamsons versus The Conspiracy Theory. Next time it will be The Adamsons versus Something Else. The music was District 4 by Kevin MacLeod. Look forward to speaking to you next time.